Welcome to Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor, we could probably narrow down the topics to two main ones. It's pretty easy to see. You've got the first two chapters, 21 and 22, are the laws of the Kohanim. Special mitzvos that apply only to the Kohen. Then, in chapter 23, you have the famous Parsha of the Moadim, of the festivals. Why is it famous? Because we read it more than once a year. We read it at least once on every, Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuos, I don't think we do. But so we read this section of the Torah three times, and it goes through the calendar, all the cycle of holidays. Actually starts off with Shabbos, and then it goes to Pesach, which is the first in the calendar year. Remember, Jewish, there's two themes of Jewish calendar. One is beginning with Tishrei, because that is the beginning of that commemorates the birth of the world. And we have Rosh Hashanah. But, as far as Jewish holidays is concerned, the calendar begins at the commemoration of the Exodus, which is when we actually became a nation, and that is during Nisan. So the first holiday that the Torah refers to as the holiday of the first month, that is Pesach. From Pesach we go to before Shavuos, the Torah tells of the special Omer offering, which was a barley offering given on the second day of Pesach. And then the mitzvah of counting all the days till the next holiday of Shavuos. And then the next holiday in the Torah law is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres. So the array of Jewish holidays is found here in chapter 23. There's something also at the end of the Parsha. There's something about the showbread, and there's also a story about two men who got into an argument, and it led to one of them blaspheming God, cursing God's name, and his end was death by stoning. And that's the end of the Parsha. But, when we think of Emor, we think of Kohanim, and we think of holidays. So I'm thinking, what do these two topics have in common, Kohanim and holidays? And I'm also thinking about how this Parsha may follow logically from Kedoshim. Just to bring everybody up to date, last week we spoke about the important mitzvah of Kedoshim Tihiyu, of the Jewish people being holy, and we said, after talking around for a while, we couldn't exactly define holiness, and we decided to look at the rest of the Parsha and see what follows, and that might suggest what holiness is. And we studied many, many mitzvos. Kedoshim contains the largest number of mitzvos of any single Parsha in the Torah, and we saw that there are many mitzvos relating to man and God, and many mitzvos relating to man and man. So our conclusion was that holiness is a state of connectiveness to God through the man-to-God mitzvos, and connectiveness to fellow men in the formation of a unified community through those mitzvos. And that's really, those are the two major aspects of holiness, and one without the other is not holy. Closeness to God without a feeling of connectedness to other Jews is lacking in holiness, and connectedness, generosity and so forth, goodwill towards other Jews without a sense of connectedness to God is also lacking in holiness. And it's really both. Perhaps Parshas Emor can offer us some shortcuts to holiness. That's the big thing today. You've got a computer program, but you don't want to have to go through all of the steps to get to it, so you just go to the desktop and you look for the shortcut. Perhaps Emor can offer us some shortcuts to holiness. And if you think about it, what are Kohanim and what are holidays? Kohanim are special holy people. And what are holidays? Special holy days. Holidays. They're concentrated in holiness. The Kohanim are super Jews, as we'll soon see. Extras, concentrated holiness. Every person is holy. Every Jew has to be holy. But Kohanim are super holy. And every day should be infused with holiness. But holidays are super holy. So perhaps these are shortcuts, and by proper understanding and use of the existence of kahuna, of priesthood, and the presence of kahuna in our nation, and the presence of holidays, we can be infused and boost ourselves to Kedusha. So let's see how that may be done. What is it about Kohanim? Now, we know that, you know, the famous the opening of the Parsha is that Kohanim cannot have contact with the dead, except for close relatives. As the Torah says, Emor el HaKohanim b'nei Aaron, say to the page 672 and 673, say to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, and tell them, each of you shall not contaminate himself to a dead person among his people, except for the relative who is closest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, his brother, and his sister who has not been married yet. Those he may still contaminate himself.
One exception?
Yes, with the exception of the dead has no one to attend to, right? And that even the Kohen Gadol, right?
Right.
Am I right about that?
Yep.
Okay. Thought so. Yeah, the Kohen Gadol can't for the relative, but can for the Meis Mitzvah, for the unattended. So what's this about not being a Kohen, not being impure, not being contaminated by the dead? So the first reaction might be, well, because he's got to go into the temple. And in the temple, we can't go in when we're impure. But that's not the end all of it. That's not the extent of the mitzvah. Because Kohanim didn't always go into the temple. You know, there were so many Kohanim that how many weeks or days in the year do you think every Kohen served? How busy was he?
They had a pretty good rotation. They didn't have to.
They didn't have to much at all. Except for the holidays, they only had to do 2 weeks a year. Because all the Kohanim were divided up into 24 groups, and each group would take a week. So you're talking about 2 weeks out of the year. And is a Kohen allowed to come in contact with the dead if he's not on duty? No.
Well, he's always on call, he's not on duty.
I don't think they could call up Eddie Cohen at any time. There were plenty of. But that's not the reason for this prohibition. The reason for this prohibition is because Kohanim are super holy people, and contact with the dead, whether, you know, necessary or not, it pulls us down. Because what is it? This is what one of the Meforshim says, the Chinuch. What is a dead body? A dead body. So it does not exactly, no soul. The only thing that makes us able to function as holy people is because of our soul. You take the soul out of the body and you just have a clump of earth. And in fact, throughout life, the body and the soul are at odds with each other. If not for the body, the soul would be, you know, would be pure, and it is pure, but it's dragged down because the body has its own desires and its own agenda, and it's constantly having to fight with the soul. Now, a person can overcome, and a person can through holiness, a person can allow the soul to be in the driver's seat, and then the soul can actually elevate the body. Even as long, even when you're alive. Yeah, as long as you're alive. That's right.
You want to stay pure because it shows that he's holy and it's your chief and you want to cure the people.
Right. But we, the average person doesn't have to be holy to that extent that he can't come in contact with the dead. But the Kohanim, their job is to be holy all the time. Their job is to be not pulled down by the material side of man, to try to avoid the dominance of physicality. So we see right away that the Kohen, it's a 24/7, 365 job to be a holy person. It's nothing to do with the fact that he's busy in the temple. So that's one point. Another point is that the Torah says something very general about the Kohanim, Kedoshim Yihiyu Lelohehem. They shall be holy to their God. What does that mean? They shall not desecrate the name of their God. What does it mean they shall be holy? Well, that was been stated already. What's this additional? It sounds like it's a separate mitzvah to be holy. What does be holy mean? Everyone has to be holy. So the Hamek Davar, that's the Rabbi Berlin from Berlajin, says that Kohanim have to be excel and be distinguished in good character traits and modesty. They have to excel in those areas. A Kohen does. Of course, everybody has to be a mensch. Everybody has to have derech eretz. Everybody has to be humble. But a Kohen has to make sure that he excels in his midos, in his character traits. A Kohen is also commanded to have extra holiness in marriage. Not every woman that a Jew can marry may a Kohen marry. A Kohen cannot marry a woman with a shady past, either what the Torah calls a zona, a harlot, a woman who had engaged in forbidden relations, a halala, a woman who descended from a forbidden Kohen union of her parents. Or a widow is okay, save for the Kohen Gadol, but a divorcee. A divorcee is forbidden to a Kohen, also because her thoughts of her husband will not be as pure because she has a past relationship, which is unavoidable, clouds her clarity of thought. So a Kohen has to be exercise extreme holiness in marriage more so than the rest. And then there's a mitzvah for everybody else regarding the Kohanim. The mitzvah of every Jew is to give special honor and holy and ascribe holiness to the Kohen. As the Torah says, the kidashto ki eslechem elokecha hu makriv. You shall sanctify him. You, Israel, shall sanctify the Kohen, for he offers the food of your God. He is your servant. He is your representative as a servant of God. And this is where we learn that we give the Kohen the first aliyah. We give the Kohen the first honor in benching or in anything. Give him first choice of food and so forth. Let him enter first. All those kinds of things that we show that we honor this person because this person represents service of God, and if we can't be on that level of constant kedusha as he can, at least we will show honor to him.
Could a Kohen marry somebody who is married to somebody else also?
No.
It talks about divorce.
Simultaneously? Well, no man can. That's a it's adultery.
Not adultery, if you're
polygamy.
Yeah,
that's only the other way. That's only
a man
having more than one wife, not a woman having more than one husband. That's adultery. Can a Kohen have two wives? Yeah, Kohen can have two wives. Well, not according to rabbinic law, anyway. All right. So, what do we see? How is this a shortcut to holiness? If you're a Kohen, it's a great shortcut to holiness. And even if you're not a Kohen, you have access to a model of holiness in the Kohen. First of all, having Kohanim around will spill over, will be influenced by the Kohanim. And we will show honor to them. And when you're showing honor to a very holy person, it makes you holy. So here we have I think the Torah is offering us a shortcut to Kedusha in the institution of Kohanim. And then, in terms of the Moadim, in terms of the holidays, special days, this is something which obviously every Jew has full access to. And if we look at the cycle of holidays, the way the Torah portrays it, there's an amazing, powerful opportunity for Kedusha in just following the path of the Moadim. We mentioned the order of Pesach and Omer and Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and finally Shmini Atzeres. How can we view the holidays as a path, as a progression from one to the next, starting at point A and ending in point B? How is it that we can see the holidays as a continuum, as a pathway from Pesach till Shmini Atzeres? How can we see the holidays as a progression?
Could you relate it to like a transformer when they put power after you've gone a certain distance, then you sort of boost it some more, and it just sort of keeps the continuous strength from one where it goes all over?
Right. There's certainly a connection, but more than just one holiday being connected to the next, there's actually a progression where Pesach is on a certain, we start on a certain point and we move up the ladder. And the end of the cycle at Shmini Atzeres, we're actually up here. Even past Yom Kippur. And that suggests also that there's an ascent, because the Omer is an ascent. So if we look at, I think the Sefer HaChinuch really provides beautiful basis for such a progression. Pesach, as we know, is the Zman Cheruseinu, the time of our freedom. Freedom is the freedom to serve God. It's the liberation from utter materialism and purposeless existence, which is what the Egyptians had to offer. Really, purposeless existence.
So where are you following the path?
Well, at the end, Shmini Atzeres. That's how we're going to explain.
Very special.
Well, Pesach is just the liberation, the opportunity to serve God. Omer is realizing that we have the opportunity, but we're at the bottom. We got to go up the steps. And Omer is barley, grain. We have to realize that we can only make a spiritual climb if we have support, if we are provided sustenance by God. God not only beckons us to grow spiritually, but He gives us the sustenance physically to do that. And we are totally dependent on Him every step of the way for that support. Shavuos is where we prime ourselves to the point that we are ready to take full direction in this spiritual climb. Because we can't do it just freestyle. Well, that could be another analogy. I'm looking at this just in terms of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, we have opportunity, we know we have to move upwards, but now we really need direction. Shavuos and the Torah provides us the direction. We have to realize there is no sense of morality anywhere in the entire world without the Torah. There's no sense of right and wrong. There's no sense of justice. There's no sense of morality without the Torah. The Torah was the source of morality for the entire human race. It never was otherwise. Any morality's code or ideal somehow has its roots somewhere in the Torah. It may have gotten distorted and changed along the road, but Without Torah, how would mankind know what's right and wrong? It would just be anarchy. And in many societies where they're not, contact with Jews and religions. Look at the societies. They're barbaric. They're cannibals. And farther away you are from mainstream society, the more barbaric it is. So there's direction from God. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a season where we can, in full appreciation for the direction that we have received, and in full appreciation the fact that God is on our side, leading us and showing us the way, we crown Him as our King, we coronate Him, and we allow Him, and we welcome His judgment, and we desperately depend on forgiveness and atonement so that we can stay on the path. We realize that without Rosh Hashanah, without judgment, without atonement, the direction would be there, but we wouldn't be on the road. And so this is a great kindness that God has given us to judge us and to keep us, even though we have plenty, we've fallen short of the mark. And then Sukkot, really, what's Sukkot? Zman Simchasenu, the time of our joy, is joyful in the sense in two ways. Number one, it's the end of the harvest season, and so we have been satiated with God's bounty. At the beginning of Pesach, we realized our dependence on Him. At Sukkot, we realize how much He has filled us up and how much He has provided for us. So that's a sense of joy and security and trust in God. And then, of course, having gone through, you know, on this path of direction and kingship, we have the ultimate joy in our relationship with God. We're just totally filled to the brim with joy. And Shmini Atzeres is the point where God says, I just want to be with you one more day. And that just shows how close we are with Him. And it's the crown. It's really the crowning jewel of the holidays, Shmini Atzeres. No other reason, just to be with God. So, if somebody wants to get a shortcut to Kedusha, just get on the treadmill, get on the road of the holidays, and go from one to the next, and we will reach the ultimate in Kedusha, in the sense of closeness to God. However, there's a question here. Everyone's asking. These are shortcuts to holiness in the realm of man to God.
Yeah.
All right. What about man to man? How come there's no shortcut for that? How come there's no crash course on tzedakah, or why don't we have tzedakah days, or why don't we have chesed days? How come it's all this spiritual stuff, this ritual stuff? Kohanim have to be holy moly, and on holidays we've got to go to Jerusalem and bring this sacrifice and that sacrifice and this mitzvah and that mitzvah. How are we going to get on the track of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro? And we know, between man and man, we know that without that, holiness is not possible.
Well, yeah, but you could do that through special, if you say the shortcut is associating yourself with Kohanim, that was a shortcut. You could associate yourself with sages or Torah scholars who are not necessarily Kohanim.
Yeah. But how does that get you to
man-to-man?
How does that create a the ethic within you of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro?
Well, I was assuming that particular person would also be a person that could give you all the merits of doing that type of thing.
Because they possess it.
Yeah.
And so then how come the Torah doesn't give Kohanim special mitzvahs of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro? Why don't Kohanim have to give more tzedakah than anybody else, or do more more acts of chesed than anybody else? How come everything special about a kohen is only bein adam lamakom? Where's the bein adam l'chavero that even the models are supposed to have? And then, and also in the holidays, where is the charge or the boost that we get out of the holidays in the sense in terms of man to man? Okay, so you're saying there's no shortcuts. No shortcuts.
By doing this one, that's the shortcut, because the more you do,
but that's true in the spiritual realm too. I mean, if you don't pray, you're not going to be spiritual. If you don't take off on Shabbos and spend the time, you know, contemplating holy matters, it's not going to just. Which ones? All the mitzvahs. That's kedoshim. We're looking for a shortcut. Where's the shortcut? Okay, let's observe something. Let's observe something. Who is the greatest model of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro that we know? Okay, Avraham. Avraham was the greatest model of everything.
Aaron was.
Yeah, but in terms of the after the Torah was given. Aaron. Aaron.
And so it's
Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. And it says, if you want to be a good person, if you want to be a klal person, a people person, a nation person, be a disciple of Aaron. Ohev Shalom, loving peace. Rodev Shalom, right. Pursuing peace. Ohev Esabrios, loving people. Umakarvan LaTorah, and bringing them close to Torah. How did Aaron get it? Aaron was a Kohen. He was always separating himself from he didn't go to funerals, and he was always in the temple, and he probably worked all year too.
But he went around trying to make nice with everybody.
But how did he get to be that way? Oh. If he was a Kohen Gadol, and the emphasis his avoda was separate and different, and stay close to God, and don't be part of the Chevra Kadisha. How did he get merit to be the greatest lover of people?
Well, I guess
so. That means he was that who he was in spite of who he was.
It's got to be that they're all an equal plane. I guess it's just as high man to man as man to God, and if you're man to God, then you're going to do man-to-man.
The Maharal says it's dafka because he was the Kohen Gadol. Because he was so consumed with being one with Hashem that he loved all of Hashem's creatures. That he is precisely because he was the Kohen Gadol, because he knew what holiness was, because he knew that what life is about is not material things. It's not about you know, how much money he has or how he looks or how he talks. It's about who we are. We're all created from the same spark, from the same soul. He was the ultimate in a nation person, in an Am Echad, in a Ma'ached, a unifier of people. And look for a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, we specifically look to the Kohanim. And holidays, too. You know, the holidays, can you think of a time when Jews don't feel closer to one another? When we are not, because we're all gathering together for the same purpose, to rejoice and to visit God in His holy place. Is there any time that's not a greater time of unification? And just look at this end that we talk about, the Sukkot season. Just look at the symbolism in the four species, the famous Midrash, that the four species represent the four different types of Jews, the learned and the unlearned, and those with good deeds, those without good deeds, and we bring them all together. This is representative of the spirit of Sukkot, because when you are on that level of closeness with God, when we've gone through Pesach and the Omer, and we've accepted the Torah, and we've accepted Hashem as our Melech, that's what makes us Achla come together. That's what makes us feel like a nation. It's precisely the shortcut to what we think is Bein Adam LaMakom, between man and God. That's what really gives us the awareness of Bein Adam LaChaveiro. And unless we strive for Kedusha in our relationship with God, we will not have. It's not that you can choose and get partial credit. This is the way to develop Bein Adam LaChaveiro, is through the paths of Kedusha Bein Adam LaMakom. By striving for Kedusha like the Kohanim, and by striving to connect with God through our Yamim Tovim, these are the shortcuts to full Kedusha, not only in the area of man to God, but also in the area of man to man. It's the same shortcut, and it will bring us to the destination in a full spectrum of ways.